Welcome to the Faith Assembly Podcast. We're so glad that you've joined us today. It is our desire at Faith to help you connect, grow, and go in your walk with God. We hope you're encouraged by this message from Pastor Steve.
As I had mentioned to you via Facebook this morning, we are launching a new series today entitled Anchored. And we're going to be talking about the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus. And you know, when they were singing that song this morning, and just bear with me, I'll be okay in a minute, maybe. Or maybe I'll get worse, I don't know. But I was thinking as they were singing that song, this is a complex and often multifaceted life that you and I live. We encounter all kinds of difficulties, troubles, trials, tribulations. And day after day after day, we are confronted with the idea of our own mortality. That, you know, as we live this life, the outer man is perishing day by day. And I can really identify at this point in my journey with what Paul said when he said, if I had hope of Christ in this life alone, I above all men would be most pitiable. But can I just remind you today, church, that we have an anchor in Christ Jesus that is firm and secure, an anchor in Him that transcends all of life's difficulty and ultimately has overcome death, hell, and the grave, so that even our eternity is secure in Him. Can you just give the Lord some praise for that today? So for the next several weeks, we're going to be working from a thought provided by the writer to the Hebrews, and he says to them in chapter 6, verse 19, and this is just the A portion of the verse. It's not even the whole verse. And he says, we have this hope, an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And I know that sounds pretty ambitious to want to talk about one half of a Bible verse for 4 weeks, but this is the power of Scripture for you and I. This is the power of the Word of the Lord, that it is living and it's active, able to divide asunder the joints and the marrow, and it's quick, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's alive, and it can speak to us week over week over week, even if we stay camped out on the same spot. But it speaks to us in every season, every circumstance, all the suffering, and even in the victories, the Word of the Lord speaks to us. So getting back to anchors, I know it's usually a mistake to assume anything, but I'm going to assume this morning that you all know what an anchor is. Hopefully I'm not addressing a concept that's foreign to you, but just to refresh you, an anchor is an amazing invention. One day somebody says, how do we get our vessels to stop moving in the water? And somebody said, oh, let's tie a thing to the end of a rope and drop it so that it drags on the bottom of the waterbed, and we know we can stay still. And you know, fishermen, sailors have used these for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. And the basic concept of an anchor is that it is a device normally made of metal used to secure a vessel to the bed of a body of water to prevent the craft from drifting due to winds or current. An anchor. And I want you to get this, because I believe sometimes we add so much complexity to life that it saps all the joy out of living. And it's not necessarily circumstantial, but it's just our own reasoning applied to very simple things. And we make it so complex and so foreign that it's burdensome, it's cumbersome, and it's heavy. And I read somewhere in the Scripture where Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And today, I hope as we're talking about this anchor for our soul, that as you walk out of this place today, you can walk out with a testimony that you found rest. You found a haven of rest, a place where you can anchor your soul, you can anchor your heart, anchor your emotions, anchor your thoughts even, and not be worn completely out by the continual rigor of the calisthenics that we put ourselves through oftentimes in these areas. Can I just tell you today at the onset of this message that God's got it? What is it? Well, just put a blank there and you fill it in. Is it your diagnosis? Is it the trial that you're going through right now? Is it the situation with your kids? Is it your finances? I don't know. You have to figure that out, and you have to know the thing that's weighing on you right now. But what I want to encourage you with today is the message that God's got it. And you and I can anchor into that. We can lay hold of that, and we can rest in that. So I feel the Lord wants to just speak to us through this text or this thought for a season to encourage many of us today, because I know that there are many of us who have been facing diverse challenges, and we as believers are to be anchored, if you will, in hope. And as you may have guessed it, that hope is none less than Christ Jesus. One Bible commentator says an anchor was an ancient Christian symbol for safety, security, and hope. So what is this specific hope? Because the writer to the Hebrews says we have this hope. If you're taking notes in your Bible, if you highlight, if you underline, you need to underline the word this. We have this hope. This hope we have, some translations say. And there's this specific hope here that the author of the Hebrews is referencing when he writes here in chapter 6, verse 19. And we know that this hope is Jesus, but why is the conclusion being drawn that we have this hope and not another one? And to better understand the promise here of Hebrews 6:19, we've got to build a context for our understanding. So I want to ask you today to back all the way up to verse 13, and we're going to begin to understand what this portion of the hope is that we have in Christ Jesus. And we begin in verse 16, and the writer here is expressing about an exchange between God and Abraham back in the Old Testament. And he says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." I love that. I love that because, you and I, we do some things unconsciously sometimes. We don't even realize what we say sometimes or the implications of what has been said. But can you just put yourself in this spot here for a minute? Because when you get ready to promise somebody something, you don't promise on your own name. We always want to appeal to something greater. We want to appeal to something that we feel like is going to add more weight, more gravity, a more solid foundation to our promise. When you go in the courtroom, they ask you to put a hand on the Bible. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Say, on that authority, I'm promising, I'm pledging that I'm going to tell you the truth. And this here says that when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely, surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you." And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and the oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise his immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. You are a child of promise today. You have a promise. You have a promise that though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's nothing for you to fear because God is with you. You have a promise today that where two or three, we're operating under promise today, that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. We've already heard recited today that God inhabits the praises of his people. That's a promise. That's a surety. And I can tell you that the promise of the Lord has already been fulfilled in this house today, because if you can't sense the palpable presence of Almighty God in this place right now, it's time to wake up. But God made a promise to Abraham, the father of the Hebrew nation, and since God couldn't swear by anything greater than himself, he simply said, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. God made a promise to Abraham, and he stayed true to his promise. Let's just be real honest here this morning. How many of you have ever broken a promise? Right? I don't advocate the practice, but I'm just saying it's a reality often found in our finiteness, that we don't hold all things under our control. We're not the final authority. We're not the final word. Sometimes we promise things and we've overextended ourselves, or situations, circumstances arise, and sometimes we're just flat out lazy, I'll be honest. But when we do break our promise, it is increasingly harder for someone else to trust us the next time, isn't it? I have had this before in my own life. And me and this lovely lady here on the front row celebrated 28 years of marriage last weekend. That's longer than a lot of you have been alive. And that's sad. But moving on. There are some times that I will say to her, babe, I'm gonna. And she will look back at me and say, sure you will. Why? Because in my finiteness, in the limited amount of resources that I have, there have been occasions when I have been rendered incapable of holding up my end of the bargain. And that's understood as a weakness between us. And, you know, I get, sure. Yeah. You mean like the last time? But I want to just encourage you today and say that our God is a promise keeper. We sing about it all the time. At the end of the day, he's kept every promise and fulfilled every prophecy up to this point. And obviously, there's still more to come. But up to this point, God has come through every single time. He is without fail. He has never let anyone down. The righteous have never been forsaken, nor God's seed seen begging for bread. He is batting 1,000 every time that he makes a promise. He keeps it and he upholds it. And today, you and I can rest in that. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to have a midlife crisis. He's not going to go on some crazy existential journey to find himself. We're never going to look around and find that he's missing. He knows who he is. He is the I am that I am. He is able. You write the blank. You fill in the blank with whatever it is. He's got the supply. He's got the solution. He's got the power. He's got the resource. He's got all of it right there in his hands, and you and I can rest in him. So I want you to be encouraged today, especially those of you that have fled from the slavery of sin and this world, to take hold of Jesus. He is hope. He is the specific hope that you and I have. He is firm and he is secure and he is an anchor for the soul. The passage that we started earlier, verse 17, concludes, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Can you just consider that with me for just a second? It is impossible for God to lie. People say these dumb things all the time, like, is it possible for God to make a rock that he can't lift? You know, the contradiction there is that if God can't make a rock that he can't lift, then he can't do all things. And if he does make a rock that he can't lift, then he can't do all things. But there are things that God can't do that his holiness is prohibitive of, and that is that God cannot lie. He can't fail. And he is firm, and he is secure, and he is an anchor for the soul. And once we have Jesus, we are able to anchor ourselves in him. I want you to listen to how Albert Barnes, a 19th century Bible commentator, describes this reality, and it's just I love reading some of these old works because they're almost poetic. He says, hope accomplishes for the soul the same thing which an anchor does for the ship. It makes it fast and secure. An anchor preserves the ship when the waves beat and the winds blow. And as long as the anchor holds, so long the ship is safe. And the mariner apprehends no danger. So with the soul of the Christian, in the tempests and the trials of life, his mind is calm as long as his hope of heaven is firm. If that gives way, he feels that all is lost. And I just want to tell you today that maybe you're adrift. Maybe you're just feel like you're floundering in the storm that you're in today. I want to invite you to reacquaint yourself with the anchor that we have for our soul. And that is none other than Christ Jesus, whose word is forever settled in heaven. And it is a secure and it is a place of safety where you and I can find refuge for our weary souls. It's obviously not a perfect metaphor. But this is in some way how it feels to be anchored in hope. If you are anchored firm and secure, if your connections are strong and the anchor is trustworthy, then what room is there for anxiety and fear? If God is for us, who can be against us? If Lord, if you are with me, whom shall I fear? Right? I mean, that is the adage of Christianese that we would all say to one another if any calamity struck our lives. We all know what to say, don't we? We know that we always know the perfect thing to say when somebody else is going through it. Oh, the Lord. If I ever get in a tough situation, don't ever come and tell me that the Lord won't put anything more on me than I can bear. I just don't want to hear it. I mean, I'm honest. Is it true? Yeah, well, I don't know. I think the Lord sometimes will put things on you that'll crush you so that you learn how to lean into his strength and not lean on your own all the time. So, with so much uncertainty in this world, turmoil, confusion, division, is it any wonder that our cities and our culture are struggling with epidemic levels of anxiety and stress and depression? Friends and family, neighbors are literally grasping for anything firm and secure to hold on to, but everything they grab that is not of Christ gives way. And hope wrongly applied will often leave us worse off than when we started. Because the disappointment compounds with every failing. It reminds me so much of the story about Jesus walking on the water. Now in the fourth watch, Matthew says in chapter 14, the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out of fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And then Peter. Boy, we always count on Peter to blurt something out, can't we? Then Peter answered them and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus obliged. And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the waves and the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And see, everything was going well for Peter until he took his eyes off of Jesus. And he began to be overcome with fear, overrun with anxiety. And I just want to challenge you today to reflect on your own heart, your own thoughts, your own situation. And ask yourself, if you are overcome with fear, if you're overcome with anxious thoughts, are you truly anchored in the promise of the Lord? This particular story just reminds us to stay locked onto Christ, fastened to him, our firm and secure hope. There's nothing else. And since this life is complicated and complex, this is pretty straightforward good news. Just good stuff. You won't find it on CNN. It's good news. I'm going to say this one more time for you. An anchor is simple in its design, but very powerful in its function. And if you're reading your scripture and you see the verse, and then you chase down all of the internet commentators and you make that thing so complex that you don't even understand it, stop. Take Jesus at his word. He's our healer. He's our protector. He's our provider. He's our Savior and our soon coming King. And even if breath leaves this body, there's coming a day, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the word says, when the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then those who are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with him in the air, and shall evermore be with the Lord. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be continuing to look at and talking about anchors and boats and hope and Jesus. In the meantime, I just think it would be good for all of us today just to take some time in the coming weeks. I hope that these are more than just messages that you hear on Sunday morning. I pray that it's a resonance in your spirit. Maybe even that you go back and catch it online and just refresh yourself in this word, and that is nourishing to your inner man. And I just want to ask you today, has someone that you've trusted ever let you down? I know we've probably all faced that. Has someone ever lied to you, misled you, or manipulated you? I'm sure they have. Are you anxious? Have you ever been depressed? I'm sure we all pass through hard seasons. But have you ever felt fearful of people, places, situations? And if you identify with any of the situations I just described, or possibly something that I've missed, it doesn't mean that you're weak or dumb or gullible or broken. It just means that you're human. And it means you're exactly the type of person that Jesus came and died for. And I'm closing with this story here in Mark chapter 12. There's the story of a lady who'd suffered a long time. She'd been manipulated. She'd been lied to. She'd been used. She'd spent her whole livelihood with doctors who couldn't cure her, probably knew they couldn't cure her, but they didn't stop taking the cash until it was gone. According to the Levitical law of that time, everyone that she touched, every place that she sat, became unclean because she was unclean. But then one day Jesus shows up in her neighborhood, and with a fierce determination, she pushes her way through the crowd and she touches the very hem of his garment, thinking to herself, if I can just touch Jesus, he's my hope. The physicians have failed. Friends and neighbors have let me down, but if I can just touch Jesus. And she touches the hem of his garment. He heals her completely, physically, socially. He restores her. He is our hope. He is firm. He is secure. And it is this hope that we grab hold of. I want to invite you to stand. And today you say, Pastor, I don't know. I'm really struggling. I'm struggling in my faith. I'm struggling with some situation or trial, whatever the case may be. And I'm not really sure about the whole pressing in thing. But today, as you spoke, I realized that if I can just get to the hem of his garment, he'll do the rest. I'm just saying to you today that if you may not feel a thing in this moment, but if you will position yourself, he will touch you. He can heal you. He can refresh and restore you. Because if you've got Jesus today, church, you've got more than enough. So our team's going to lead us. I want you to just reflect on the word today. I want you to think about that hope and just do some introspective searching and say, God, call out the things in my heart where I'm anxious, the places where I'm not trusting you, because I want to be anchored in your haven of rest. Have your way in me right now, Holy Spirit. Touch my heart. Encourage me. But maybe you're here today and you're feeling the weight of some specific trial. Maybe you're here today and you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today, I just want to assure you that He's in this room and He's wanting and He's waiting to meet us if we will simply position ourselves to receive from Him.
We hope you enjoyed this inspirational message today. If you would like more information about Faith Assembly, please visit us on the web at faith-assembly.org. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you have a blessed day.